Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
It's almost time for secondary school students to put away their uniforms, throw their school books in the corner because the long summer holidays beckon. But before this term even ends, many parents are worrying about how they'll pay children's school costs for next year, and voluntary contributions are a big part of that. A survey of 1,000 parents by the Society of St Vincent de Paul found many parents have to cut back or delay spending in order to meet that payment. So how optional is it for parents, and why do schools feel it's essential? I'm joined now by Jen Hogan, parenting columnist with the Irish Times, and Craig Petrie, who's principal of East Glendalough School in County Wicklow. And you're both welcome to the programme. Jen, what do you hear from parents, first of all, about the pressures that they're under to pay that voluntary contribution, particularly at second level, when it can be substantial?
Yeah, it can be very substantial. I was actually speaking to parents about this just very recently, and there's a huge variation across the board in the amounts that are asked from parents from very different schools, depending where you live, depending on obviously individual schools. And it kind of ranges from in and around €70 to €600 per child. So quite a huge ask. And that €600 is for a non-fee paying school, even just to clarify that. I mean, it's a huge additional pressure. Parents said to me that they don't feel it's voluntary. Just like the report there, I had some parents come to me to say that their children weren't given access to lockers or weren't given journals. So again, highlighting to everybody else in the class, this child's parents haven't paid the voluntary contribution, they don't have the homework journal. And the whole voluntary aspect of it being something that they feel is just, it's just not. I mean, it says voluntary by name, but they didn't feel it was by nature, because there was constant reminders being sent out, either it hanging in the school app or else a constant email coming in or a reminder that you haven't paid it yet. There's also some schools who they make this kind of provision for paying it by direct debit, perhaps to spread the cost, which, yes, it makes it, it's spreading the cost, takes some of the pressure away, but at the same time, it still makes it harder to say no if you feel that you can't afford it in full. And parents did report making sacrifices, some paying from a credit union loan that they had, paying off the voluntary contribution that way, or deciding that it was a decision between their child being involved in an activity or paying the voluntary contribution. Mm-hmm. And it came down to things like that. And in the middle of a cost of living crisis, parents finding it especially difficult to manage.
And I know you've looked before at where in the country it's most expensive, yeah, and where it's cheaper. So what can you tell us about that?
So it seems to, cities and big towns, it seems to be more expensive there than in rural Ireland. But I mean, South Dublin is probably the place that has the highest voluntary contribution. That seems to repeatedly come up when you ask parents, well, where is your school? And you see this astronomical fee. And a lot of parents reported, particularly for those who have children going to non-fee paying schools, they said they feel maybe the school thinks that they can ask for such a high amount because they're surrounded by private schools. So there's a kind of an expectation or an acceptance almost there of
in
a
the
high
area.
Ask. Yeah, okay. In the area, within the area. But I mean, the variation is so huge that parents feel differently about it. If you're asked for €70 over the course of a year, that's maybe something that some parents can stretch to. Still a lot if you're struggling already to make ends meet. But when you have a much higher amount, it's really difficult. And they have also reported that the voluntary nature has been taken out too, because it's been rewritten as administration fees, some parents said. So rather than ask for voluntary contribution, they've noticed their admin fees have gone up.
OK, well, Craig, time to bring you in here. What level of voluntary contribution do you ask parents for, and has it changed much over the years?
So we would ask for €470 here in East Glendalough School. That's steep.
That's a lot.
And we know it. And so we would ask for that from parents. I would say very much in East Glendalough School, it is a voluntary contribution, and the emphasis for us is on the voluntary. We're not a school that goes after people for non-payment. We don't suggest extra payment. We don't remind people about the payment, and we would stress that it is voluntary. Now, we would find that there is a lot that we couldn't do if we didn't have the voluntary contribution in terms of the kind of school that we are and the kinds of opportunities that we like to offer. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it is steep. It is per family rather than per child.
And you ask for it once, so, Craig, and that's it?
We ask for it once. We don't then send a letter saying you haven't. We don't then stop some kind of supply to a child because payment hasn't been made, and in fact the only person in the school who knows whether it's been paid or not is me. Mm-hmm. And so it's not something that would be known by teachers or by staff. It is something that we feel we need to keep the school going the way we have it.
And what is the level of compliance with that request, Craig? How many people pay?
Compliance is a funny, is a difficult word for a voluntary contribution, but how many people pay? So we have about 75% of our parents are in a position to send that in and do.
In full?
To some degree or other. Most pay in full. Some people don't. And again, that's something that we're perfectly happy to work with parents on. Some parents pay it over 10 months, some pay it over 12, some pay a rate of it, but not all of it. And some people are not in a position to pay it at all. And that's fine. You know, I would spend a reasonable amount of time during the year trying to source charitable funds for students who have difficulty accessing uniform, transport, books, and so on. So we're very aware that we have a huge cross-section of socioeconomics in our school, but not everybody is in a position to pay. And so it is with kid gloves and caution that we would approach this. Now, we do feel that people get great value for it. We do feel that we offer an awful lot because of it.
Well, what's it for?
But that doesn't stop it being steep. What's it for? It's for extra teachers. So we would employ a couple of teachers ourselves on top of the Department of Education's payroll, because we as a school, and this goes back decades, have offered quite a wide variety of subjects at Leaving Certificate. And we can't do that. As a small school, we're quite limited in terms of the numbers of teachers we would have. So we can't do that unless we have access to those additional funds. There have been various cuts down the years, whether it's to guidance counsellors or to general school staff, that we wouldn't be able to cover if we didn't have that. The other big one for us is buses. So we would have teams going out in girls and boys for GAA, for rugby, for hockey, for badminton, for soccer, for athletics. You know, there's a huge amount goes on here, and we wouldn't be able to do that if we weren't help to fund that from the voluntary contribution.
So when you have,
Craig, that's a decision that we make as a school.
When you have a bus going to a sports event, you're not asking for an extra fiver or a tenner for the bus.
We are asking for a couple of euro for the bus. We are still to try and cover it, because there's so much goes on and our students access so much of it. But we're not recouping anything close to the full value of the bus, because there is a cost of living crisis. Everything has gone up and the cost of having buses is included in that. So it is difficult, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that it's not quite defending the indefensible. If we were fully funded, we would not be asking for this amount of money. That's the bottom line. And that's what any principal in the country will tell you. Whatever method they use, whether they're nice or not so nice about getting the voluntary contribution or trying to access the voluntary contribution, like, fundamentally this supports the good running of our schools, and we wouldn't be asking for it if we didn't need it.
Mm-hmm. Is that, Jen, is that the
vast majority?
Sorry, Craig, to cut across you there. I just want to bring Jen in on that. Is that the bottom line here, that the schools are not being funded to the extent that they need to be, so they have to rely on the parents?
And I think parents accept that. I suppose what they feel frustrated about is that they have to make up the shortfall. You know, that we're coming back, the parents are having to pick up the slack here and pay this voluntary contribution that feels to them like an additional cost. And you see, it's not just the voluntary contribution. I mean, there's a 2017 circular that says that it's going to be moving away, say, from crested uniform pieces. So, and uniforms should be available in particular shops. And a lot of schools haven't moved away from that yet. You know, the idea, if you still want to crest, that it's a sew-on crest or an iron-on crest or something which makes it more affordable, and that you can buy a uniform from numerous shops. When parents are trying to foot the bills and foot the cost of iPads, which are huge and totally different subjects even within themselves, but this huge additional cost where they're buying iPads and books and they're buying crested uniform pieces, because the schools aren't listening to this circular that says they're supposed to move away from it. And so parents are still having to pick up the slack there and buying things in man-sized and women-sized sizes, because secondary school children are typically, you know, heading for that stage. And if they're not already fully grown, they're heading that way, and they're nearly the same size as many of their mums and dads, and shoes and stuff. And you're trying to pay for all those different things. And then you're asked to subsidise, I suppose, those costs. And because they're so aware that the schools do need this money, or they, you know, they want to support the schools in doing all these great things like Craig described there, but they feel this pressure on top of all the things that they're asked for. So I don't know that any parent is disputing perhaps being asked it, but there is a query about, well, why? Why is somebody being asked to pay €70 and someone else being asked to pay €600?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, Craig, if parents keep paying this and if schools keep asking for it, this situation is going to continue. And I think from what you said earlier, you believe that the Department of Education should be footing this bill.
I do. And look, the Department of Education funds our schools and our second level schools. There's a capitation rate, differs from different types of school. But in general, schools are getting between 350 and 450 euro for a student. Like, that's just not going to cut it. Do you know, by the time we've paid for heat and light, and by the time we've done all of the basic things, there isn't anything left over. And I suppose there is a difficulty if we say, look, we want everything fully funded. Some schools are going to spend that on buses for sports. Some schools are going to spend it on facilities. And there might be a discrepancy there. It might still be the case that we need to have some kind of sports levy in a school where you're saying, look, I want my child to access all of these things. And that might be more manageable. But ultimately, yes, we would not be doing this if we didn't feel the need. We are still... the discrepancies between schools are enormous. So a new build school will have to spend significantly less on heat than my 1980s building, which is decrepit and is struggling. But there's no funding difference between me and the new build school up the road. And so I'm conscious of those kinds of things, that schools will have to find different ways of funding those. And we're not going to get a differential.
They
for
might get you
buildings,
solar panels though now. Isn't that the plan, to put solar panels into all the school buildings?
If the roof wasn't leaking, I'd put solar panels on it straight away.
Okay. All right. You've got a lot of problems there, Craig. Thanks very much for joining us. Craig Petrie, principal of East Glendalough School in County Wicklow, and Jen Hogan here as well. And just before we finish up, I see a text message coming in about transition year. That's a whole other topic, because on top of the voluntary contribution that you pay every year, if your child is going into transition year, that's another payment you have to make.
It is, and it's a huge extra expense. And I suppose now that there is this move towards most students actually doing transition year, it's, I suppose, crunch time for a lot of parents deciding, do they let them just skip that year and continue on into fifth year, or do they give them that opportunity to, explore and try out different things? But it's a really big expense. And again, hearing huge variations from 400 euro up to 800 euro additional. And that's maybe without extra, some books, or maybe there's not a huge amount of books required for TY.
But there's travel and different things, travel around,
the bit of independence where they're going from A to B to C to even clothes for doing their work experience, all the different things that add up. And that also, those kind of monies don't typically include the TY holiday, which is a whole other thing on top of that. So very expensive.
Jen, we'll have to come back to this one. Jen Hogan, thank you very much. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.